Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, health, wellness, justice, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Soon we'll be joined by Vegan AR activist in New York City. Benjamin Konigsberg, also known as Basil Be Vegan. A powerful, intelligent activist in many, many facets of activism. I'm greatly honored. Welcome, Benjamin, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Marlene. Thank you.
I'm greatly honored. You are totally awesome. Your work is phenomenal. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate your appreciation and being in this together.
And it's exciting that January 2nd, 2025 was your 10th vegan anniversary.
Yes.
That's a coincidence that January 2nd was also Vegan Nation's 10th anniversary on air. So it's interesting. We both have that same date of January 2nd, which is pretty significant.
Definitely. I'll make sure to call you next year around and celebrate together.
Yes, please do. Well, I'd love to hear about how you became vegan.
Okay. Meeting some vegans, you know, when I think it was in 18, 19, and just being exposed to veganism. So I had already kind of made the connection that when I was eating bacon and eggs, that I was eating individuals and eating the secretions of individuals, and could even in my mind's eye see the suffering of these animals that was involved in, you know, the food choices that I was making. But I still continued to do it. And I think I had kind of like a nihilistic, you know, mindset, like, oh, well, it doesn't matter, kind of, you know, or F it. But then it was January 2nd, 2015, I was watching Vegucated, which is a really great independent documentary on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's still on Netflix, but I believe it's freely available online. I highly recommend it. And it's not a graphic documentary by any means, but there's one scene where they do show a pig in distress, and then her eyes, I could see it, and it was just like a light bulb went off in my mind. I was like, what have I been doing? And this is imperative for me to be vegan. And then I dove right in from there.
Yes, and thank you for becoming an activist.
Thank you.
How did you come up with the name Basil B. Vegan for your social media?
Maybe some like peers in high school, someone called me Basil B. And I love basil, you know, I love vegan pesto. So it just kind of just felt like a little, what do you call it? This is a little handle to have.
I like it.
And then of course, be vegan. I mean, I like be vegan. I tend to say be vegan instead of go vegan, you know, because the idea is that, you know, go is an action word, but becoming vegan is more of the stopping something. I mean, maybe in a state of mind, it's maybe going there when it comes to making the connection and, you know, overcoming speciesism. But I tend to think of that you can't go and stop doing something. That's why I say be vegan as opposed to go vegan.
I like that. I agree with you. Thank you. Well, I'd love to hear how you became an activist and then hear about your many forms of activism.
Okay. So it was around, I want to say, 2016, 2017, then maybe social media was pretty popular then. And then seeing posts of, I'll give a shout out to Symbiotic Solutions. He was an activist that I had met at a fruit festival, which was, I had, you know, just like a food orientated vegan festival, and had, you know, made a lot of like food centric vegan connections there. But seeing his posts on social media of him doing Cubes of Truth, and then it was Shannon Blair, seeing a lot of her posts on Facebook. And she is just, I know you mentioned you've had her on your show before. She's a hugely inspirational activist, and she's very, very outspoken, very emboldened, very confident. And I was seeing a lot of her posts. My first Cube of Truth was Portland, Oregon. And I stood in the cube the entire 3 hours, my first cube, because I didn't think that I had the confidence to like outreach. And I remember thinking like, oh, I can't wait to, you know, get the confidence and I can start having outreach conversations, but I'm not there yet because I wouldn't know what to say, you know, that kind of thing. But I did my first cube of truth, you know, just felt like, wow, this is really empowering. And then I was living away from where I grew up in New York City, where I'm currently back in New York City. And then they had Anonymous for the Voiceless had a whole, it's called Week of Truth. And it was like 7 full days or like 10 or 12 hours of cubes of truth happening, like a high traffic area right there in Manhattan. And I get involved and I met like so many vegans. It was very inspiring. And kind of then from there, that's when it took off. Oh, and then I'll say, then what was really the catalyst, Shannon Blair had started called Animal Activism Mentorship, which is now called Animal Activist Collective, and putting the call out on social media for any vegans that wanted to get a mentor to help them become more emboldened and more confident and become more active advocates for the animals. And I was like, that's exactly what I need. So I had signed up for there, had an amazing mentor. Give a shout out to Red Pill Pete on social media. He was really supportive. And I went and I did my first, what they have these things called convergences. So it was very outside of my comfort zone, but I flew to Florida not knowing anybody. I got picked up by a van. We met another activist at the airport. And for 7 straight days, we toured all over the state of Florida doing tons of activism. Everything from like horse-drawn carriages to food giveaways to disruptions to chalktivism. And from there, like I had an instant network, had all this experience and was so inspired by like so many outspoken activists. And it was kind of just snowballing from there.
Great. That's nice to hear. And can you tell us a little bit of details about Anonymous for the Voiceless, Cubes of Truth, for those who might not be familiar with that?
Okay, yeah. So it's, I forgot exactly when it started, but it's now international. They have chapters all over the world. And the thing I really like about Anonymous for the Voiceless, one of the kind of the main things that they're known for is Cubes of Truth, which are, they call it kind of part street performance, part activism. So activists stand, the cube is actually activists standing motionless with remote TV screens strapped to their chest. And they use like the Guy Fawkes mask, the character from V for Vendetta. And it kind of just represents, well, you know, Anonymous, because there's some association like with the hackers and, you know, being like anti-authoritarian and whatnot. But then also just the anonymity of like the millions and millions and millions of animals that we exploit. So for the anonymity of that. And then so we stand there with the TV screens. And then they have outreachers. And the thing that I really like about Anonymous for the Voiceless is it's like very well structured and very well organized. And there's a whole protocol for interacting with what they call, you know, bystanders or passerbyers. So we stand in like high foot traffic areas. So it's great in New York City because there's like a lot of foot traffic. In the summers, we're out in Washington Square Park. In the winters, we go underground in Union Station. But you can imagine just like thousands of people walking by. And then we outreach them. So if somebody stops to just watch the screen, and you know, because I think we forget sometimes like how we know exactly what's going on for animals every single day in factory farms and slaughterhouses and in laboratories and whatnot. But so many people have never even seen the footage that we've seen, and so we literally bring the footage to the people, and then what they employ what they call the Socratic method. So asking people, like, and that's one thing I really like about Cubes of Truth is when somebody stops, they watch the footage for a little bit, and we ask them like, "Would you like to know why we're here?" Yes. So we get that initial buy-in, like that initial consent. So they're open to engage in a conversation and just like, have you seen this footage before? How does it make you feel seeing this footage? You know, we let them know this is standard, legal, completely, you know, this is what's happening all around the world every single day, regardless of the country. And then how does this make you feel? Okay. And most people are against what they're seeing. So, you know, just verify, like, are you against animals being exploited like this? Yes. So how do you justify being against it while simultaneously paying for it? And that's when we help hold them accountable to their hypocrisy, the incongruency of what they feel and then their choices. And then so there's just kind of a series of questions. And just within, you know, a matter of minutes or sometimes even seconds, people make the connection. They're like, I don't like this, but I'm supporting it. So therefore, I'm a hypocrite. And what can I do to not be a hypocrite? I can be vegan.
Exactly. So, yes.
Yeah, I think it's pretty powerful. And then also not to, and so I've actually really learned a lot. Paul Bashir is one of the co-founders of Anonymous for the Voiceless, and he's got a series of videos on YouTube. I think the latest one is called Holding Non-Vegans Accountable 4.0 or 3.0. And you can go in there and there's just some really great really great pointers and stuff about how to outreach and how to be like concise with our message.
Thank you. Yes, I saw his first video of the Holding Non-Vegans Accountable. I thought that was good. So there's a new one too?
Yeah, and there's been like subsequent ones, because I think, you know, there's chapters literally all over the world. And so they get a lot of a lot of feedback from all the different activists, and it's well organized. You know, you have like your main organizer and then regional organizers. So they're always, you know, putting their heads together and compiling all the stories and the anecdotes and some of the stats of like what's most effective. And the idea is like, this is what's most effective. And so let's not waste our time talking about impossible burgers or, you know, talking about crop death. Like, let's just focus exactly on the moral hypocrisy and holding them accountable. And, you know, ultimately, a lot of people aren't ready to change right in that moment, but at least they've walked away knowing and admitting that they are hypocrites and they know what to do. And now it's on them. And that's the best that we can do, is just like hold them to account.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you, Benjamin. And I'd love to hear about the dairy campaign.
Okay, great. Yes. So, Animal Activist Collective, and you can check out their website. They were formerly known as Animal Activism Mentorship, but they kind of rebranded because they do a lot of different things. But I think the mentorship is, and I'd encourage any vegans out there, and you don't actually have to be fully vegan to get a mentor. We pair you up with someone who has similar interests. It might be, you know, might sometimes be location based, but generally like your interests and someone who personality wise would be a good fit. And so for 3 months, you work with your mentor, sometimes just like a once a week phone call. It's totally organic what you and your mentor come up with as far as like how they can support you or what kind of support. You know, people need different types of support, either like just some encouragement or resources or networking. We have a campaign called kind of like the plant-based milk challenge. And there's a couple of different forms that can take. And so this summer, we did a lot of free vegan ice cream giveaways. And we focused specifically just on the exploitation in the dairy industry. So we're out there, free ice cream, you know, like in a high traffic area, free ice cream. And people go, oh, yeah, I'd love a free ice cream. Okay. And then we just ask them we just want to ask you a couple questions about the dairy industry. And it's amazing how many people just still think, like, I'll just ask them straight away, do you know why cows produce milk? They haven't thought about it. They didn't even realize that cows, like all mammals, only produce milk when they're pregnant. So they've never even thought about the cycle of exploitation, of forced impregnation, of, you know, what happens to male cows born into the dairy industry because they don't have a uterus, they can't produce milk, you know. And so it's very effective. And then we give them the free ice cream, and then we give them a card with more resources to follow up. So in the winter, we've been doing some chocolate giveaways. We've been doing things like just kind of a blind taste test of different, you know, plant-based milks. And so just focusing on dairy and giveaway. And if you're interested, I don't know if we have show notes, but you can check out theanimalsneedyou.com. It's easy to remember. And there's a little form that you can fill out, and you may be able to be reimbursed, you know, upwards of like $90 or $100 or something, to, you know, buy 100 pieces of whatever type of, you know, vegan chocolate or vegan ice cream to give away. And plus the signage and the pamphlets and everything to set you up.
Thank you, Benjamin. And that is so important. I'm a World Peace Diet facilitator, and one of the premises within that philosophy is the boomerang effect. And so the premise is that humanity's actions towards others inevitably and eventually boomerangs back to humanity. It makes sense to me just based on frequency waves, quantum vibrations, invisible energies. And so the exploitation and the slavery and the suffering and the trauma and the depression and the fear and the anxiety that the animals are experiencing boomerangs back to humanity. And we see that century after century over in so many different ways, all the suffering. And so I really believe that veganism is the key, the path to creating a world of harmony and nonviolence, peace and abundance and safety and justice. So your work, even giving out free vegan chocolate and vegan ice cream, on the surface might seem like it's only for the victims in the dairy industry, but in the philosophy of the World Peace Diet, it goes way beyond that. So I think that your work is so powerful. So thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah. And one thing I like focusing on the dairy industry is because one, you catch all the vegetarians, you know, because a lot of the vegetarians, when you're, you know, maybe just talking about meat or something, oh, that's not me, you know. But then also, I think we know that the life, there's so much more exploitation in the life of a dairy cow than the life of a cow just, you know, bred into existence just for their meat alone, like having your baby taken from you 5-6 years in a row and then still ending up in the same fate, but, you know, having to be forcibly impregnated and just, you know, all that. So this is a great campaign.
We're listening to Benjamin Konigsberg, a vegan activist in New York City. Benjamin is joining us via Skype in NYC. He currently advocates with several different animal rights organizations, co-organizes NYC Vegans in Tech, a meetup exploring the intersection of animal rights and technology, and serves as a mentor with Animal Activism Collective. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Benjamin. Much thanks for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Welcome back from the break. Thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts, and we are joined by Benjamin Konigsberg in New York City. Prior to the break, Benjamin was sharing details about the campaign called AnimalsNeedYou.com. Outreach, Street Activism, Plant Milk Challenge. Outreach on the streets with free vegan dairy products. Yes, it's quite a task we have as vegan activists to help transform society and evolve humanity. And that, in addition to the mother cows themselves suffering and what happens to them too after they're exploited for their breast milk, being sent to slaughter for beef, quote-unquote beef. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you mentioned the male bull calves, what happens with all the male bull calves, and even all the heifers. At a day old, within the first 24 hours, typically, might be 72 hours, but it's usually within the first 24 hours when they're abducted from their mothers, and they're put in separate hutches, and they can only walk forward and backward maybe 3 or 4 feet. One of the reasons that they're placed in these individual solitary confinement hutches is so that they become docile. They don't learn to ever run and play and be strong and independent. It's always to create a docile mammal. And of course, We see what happens with humanity to many, many populations with control and manipulation and all that. And I keep thinking boomerang effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I appreciate all your activism. Thank you for a recent post that you had last week on your Instagram page about the horse slaughterhouse in New Mexico.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I mean, I think that was just some footage that I had found just to kind of help people make that court. Because, you know, I think horses were another animal that we all, like, feel we are automatically have an affinity towards. And so realizing that, like, we're still killing horses for their flesh and, like, I mean, help people make the connection that way.
Yeah. And, like, you have the visions posted on that page is very important, too, because when we see what those horses are experiencing in the kill shoots, It's a horror show. It's so bad that I just think it's so important for everyone to see these images of all the species, not just horses, all the animals who are being violated and exploited and harmed by a non-vegan human population.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I generally think that the images are very powerful because, you know, people, the cognitive dissonance and the mental gymnastics that people go through to justify their actions. But when it hits them on that kind of visceral level, there's nothing you can do but then just to confront the truth.
And again, we've all been deceived that humans need to be consuming the flesh and secretions of victims in order to survive and thrive, which is, thank goodness, we're in the vegan evolution revolution, so that we're becoming aware that we've been gifted with bodies in which no others need to be exploited, suffer, and die for our nourishment. And so speaking of that, you being a healthy, young, handsome man, what do you typically eat?
Oh, thank you. I'm also passionate. I mean, I don't, as I become more of an activist, I don't talk so much about the health benefits of being vegan, but I'm definitely passionate about a whole food plant-based diet. And I tend to follow the, you know, the salt, oil, and sugar-free whole food plant-based diet. And, you know, the works of Neil Barnard, Joel Fuhrman, things like the Daily Dozen from Dr. Greger. So just whole plant foods. And because, you know, I feel like the healthier that we are, the longer we can be activists, the more energy and resources we can put into our activism, you know, and that's why I think it is important for us to take care of ourselves as activists, because there's so few of us and we need to be around and fighting with as much, you know, oomph that we have for as long as we can.
Thank you, Benjamin. And I respect your intelligence and how you share your information with such nobility, yet hardcore truth.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Marlene, for all that. And I appreciate you too and getting to know you. So very grateful to know you.
Thank you. And we're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
Get involved in, we need more activists, and any action, no matter how small, is important. And I encourage you to find a form of activism that also nourishes you. It's okay to be selfish, if to find a form of activism that you like, that nourishes you. Find organizers that you like, find people that you like to do activism with, because then you're that much more likely to stick with it and to do it.
And what contact information do you have?
You can feel free to message me on, so Basil_B_vegan on Instagram. Feel free to message me. Same on YouTube, but I'll do my best to respond. And again, Animal Activist Collective, or animalsneedyou.com, is a great resource. And yeah, I'd be happy to, anyone wants to reach out, and I can share any resources or connect in any way I can.
Thank you very much, Benjamin. And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
It was a pleasure, Marlene. Thank you so much.
Much thanks to our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com.
Just can't take no more. I gotta get out of this place. 'Cause the things I've seen have broken my heart, made me feel ashamed just to be a part of this human race. If you could see the rays when they were dying, and if you could hear the cries when they were dying, would you still put them? My friend, and if you have a knife, well, leave with Diane. And if it was yours, who did the killing? Would it be different? 'Cause there's no difference.
Much thanks to Mike Love for his songs Medicine Man and Earthlings. This is Jar Awakening by Mike Love. Much thanks to all for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Again, I'd like to thank my guest, Benjamin Konigsberg, Basil B. Vegan. This is Marlena, Massachusetts, host of Vegan Nation. Thanks again for tuning in.